Hey, evening, everybody. JD here, 701 Nation. People just starting to roll in here. Josh Patterson, what's up, JD? What's up, Josh? Thanks for tuning in again, buddy. Appreciate you. Eric Newman, good evening, fellas. Evening, Eric. Eric's actually, he's a buying my old crossbow from me, so I'm going to upgrade this fall, man. I do have a crossbow license, by the way. My guest tonight, we got Levi Nelson on here. Levi, first time I ever met Levi was tonight face-to-face. I heard him doing, the first time I heard you, Levi, you were doing a podcast with John Armand. I think you guys are out at Game and Fish talking CWD or something, right, with the biologist?
Yep.
And then, I heard you on heard you on Scott Bachmeyer's show before, and we had John on with us and Wayne Muth, and I think they both know you, so appreciate you coming on tonight. But Levi was on a black bear hunt, right, in Montana, it was?
Yep, just last week I was out there, yep.
With a bow, right? It was bow.
Actually, no, I was with my gun, yep.
Okay, oh, I was with your gun. Okay, I thought it was bow for whatever reason, so.
I'm an equal opportunity hunter.
I like that. That's perfect, man. I love that. Waylon Turnus, evening, Waylon. Josh, he just relaxed and listened to us. All right, well, let's hope we give him a good show and we don't bore you to sleep while you're relaxing, man. Levi's, he's got to work at the coal mine tomorrow. I only have to work half a day, and I'm going shooting prairie dogs with my buddy. So, Levi, I'll have a few for you here while we're doing the stream, buddy. Okay. Perfect. So, how many times have you hunted bear in Montana, Levi?
So this was my first time. I've been planning this hunt for 3-4 years. Every year I said I was going to do it. It's an easy hunt to plan for. It's over the counter, but it's in a bad time of year. We're just wrapping up calving and then everybody's branding. So it's gotten pushed off. And this year I decided to be selfish and just take that time to do it. And it went awesome.
Awesome, man. Hey, trust me, from a guy – twice as old as you, the more you push stuff off, the less it's just like you're doing it, man. I see your posts. I like what you're saying, man. You just hit it you'll get it done, man. That's perfect. Cause you said we were talking before the show, you're not married or nothing. So you still, get that stuff going, get that stuff going before the wife or the girlfriend. Cause they do get a little touchy about it, you know, but I mean, my wife, not so much anymore, but you know, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So what does it cost you when you buy one over the counter there?
So the bear tag's $350. I can't remember exactly what the general game stamps and everything are, because I buy that at the beginning of the year when I apply for deer and elk and antelope and stuff. But you're going to do it for less than $400 for the tags.
Wow, that's pretty good then.
Yeah, absolutely. And over the counter, there's not many over the counter opportunities in the United States anymore.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I know my dad always used to tell me when he was younger, they go down to Wyoming and just crush antelope and, you know, they get antelope and mule deer tags. And God, I mean, not anymore, man. No. I mean, I've never hunted there. I see you got some dandy antelope behind you there, by the way.
Antelope are kind of my obsession. I've never shot any real big ones, but it's hard to pass up a 70-inch goat.
Well, the ones behind you, man, look a lot bigger than the one I got. The only one, I got a small buck with a res tag once. And then I got one at Scott Bachmeyer's place. I went down there COVID year 2020. I mean, not a dink, but not big. I mean, and I never had a state buck tag in North Dakota. So I had, and I see it, and I was like, hell yeah, man, I want that sucker. So
yeah. Actually, I cut my teeth on Standing Rock antelope. That's what kind of where I learned. And for antelope hunting, I think it's a perfect place to learn, because I don't think you're going to find any more scared antelope in the lower 48.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was going to be simple, right? Because in the summer, we're down there shooting prairie dogs, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go drive down there, and I'm going to smoke one, and, you know, we're going to be celebrating. No, man, we chased some things around. And actually, when I got it was like a 500-yard shot. I think I said that on a previous show, but I hit it in the leg, and I ended up having to finish it offhand. But yeah, it was, it wasn't,
it always worked perfect.
Yeah. Like a lot of hunts, right? It never works. I don't think I've ever had like even a stock on one. You think we're going to go here and there, we're going to pop up and he's going to be right there. And you're, what, how do you get? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this last year, I think I put on 1500 miles driving and 17 miles hiking before I finally found a buck I wanted to take.
Wow. Yeah. That's, but hey, man, that's part of it. That's fun. I mean,
that's all about it, man. I'm all for the hunt.
You get so all right. Let me get a few things out of your bear right here. So what you said you got it? I thought you got it with your bow. You said you got it with your rifle. What kind of rifle did you get in with then?
So I have a Seiko S20 300 Win Mag. My dad had a Seiko when I was a kid. Well, he still has it to this day. And so I knew it was a good, reliable gun. He's not real kind to any of his equipment. So if it could withstand him for that many years, I knew I was going to trust a Seiko. And 300 Win Mag, you can't go wrong with a 300 Win Mag. So,
nah, we were just talking about that before the show. We'll leave that for a little later. But you were using the right one there.
Yeah.
So how many days did it take you to get them then? I mean, was it on public land or did you go on private land? Well, how'd that go?
Yep. So it was all public land. Did a lot of research. Like I said, I've been planning it for quite a few years. So I've tore apart the maps, e-scouting primarily, like Onyx and stuff. I went out there. I had planned 7 days and I was going to hunt every minute of every day, for 7 days until I had to come back. And, my main goal going into this was not to kill a bear, but was to see a bear because I've never even seen one in the wild. Mm-hmm. On day two, I saw a sow with a cub. And then on day four, I found the boar that I ended up harvesting.
Awesome.
So
how close way did you better. I mean, did you bait it or do you call bears or did you just get close as you could and let the 300 do its thing?
Yeah. So in Montana, you're not allowed to bait. And I think it's the last 2 years they've allowed using dogs to tree bears. I don't have dogs or buddies that run dogs. So I was spotting stock. So the name of the game for Montana bears is getting as high as you can and glassing till you find them. And they always say glass till your eyes bleed.
They just lower, huh?
It's a lot.
So how close did you get to it then? How long was your stock on it?
So I glassed the bear up almost 2.5 miles away. And I sat on him for about a half hour to make sure he wasn't just passing through. He was grazing on the side of a mountain. And once I convinced myself he wasn't going too far, I threw everything in my pack and I took off. It took me about an hour and a half to get there, which I was pretty motivated to get there because I didn't want him to disappear. Yeah. But through all my research, I've learned that if they're grazing on a side hill like that, they're going to be close because they like that area.
So bears eat grass?
Yep. So especially in the springtime like this, they're kind of cleaning their system out because they haven't eaten anything all winter. They can't go straight to eating meat primarily because it'll kind of mess up their digestive system. So, but I knew he was going to be in that area with how long he had stayed there. So I hiked over there and, he wasn't there when I got there, which I wasn't mad about because I figured he was going to stay close. And if I stayed there all day, there was a good chance that he was going to pop back out. And you can't tell by camera, but I'm not in the greatest shape in the world. So I was a little whooped once I got there and I started pulling all my gear off, my pack off. And I looked up and there was a black stump in front of me about 120 yards. And everything looks like a bear when you've been glassing for days. So I didn't really pay any attention to it and just kind of set all my stuff out. And I looked down again. I said, doggone it, that looks like a bear. And I looked through my binoculars and sure enough, that bear was sleeping on a log at 120 yards below me.
Unreal.
And so it was a chip shot. And I had been planning all week that my shots were going to be pretty far because you're looking across valleys. And so in most of my situations, the shots were primarily going to be 400, 500 plus. And here he was 120 yards. Didn't even have to touch my turrets.
Awesome, man. So like what bullet did you use and what were you using?
So I've been using 168 grain AMAXs that a good buddy of mine reloads for me. Everything I've shot with that in the last 3 years it's done amazing.
Yeah, so that AMAX, so there's always the big debate about whether, you know, that's a match bullet. That's at 100. I mean, everything I've seen, match bullets kill shit. If not better, just as good as a hunting bullet, right?
And I'm not a ballistics expert by no means. I've told you before, I was like, I don't even want to get into reloading because I have an obsessive personality.
Yeah, and the don't next do thing it, I know, man.
I won't even be able to afford my hunts if I do that. So.
Well, you won't have time. That's all you'll be doing is you're pissed off. You're like, man, this thing should be shooting a group as big as my pinky nail, and it's not. It pisses me off. And my buddy always says, if you want a cheap gun, just be around Jamie. If it doesn't shoot an inch at 1,000 yards, you can buy it from him for a quarter of what he paid for.
There we go. We should start shooting together.
Yeah. He's exaggerating a little bit there. But, yeah, I do get pissed when it doesn't go. I mean, over the years, I've chilled a little bit on it. But go ahead.
That gun and them loads will shoot better than I ever will. And that's what I told him, you know, when I started shooting these, he made me a pile of them when I bought this gun, and they've performed amazing in target shooting, hunting. They've done amazing.
So what do you get? Like if you're on the bench and the bag's at 100, what do you get for like a group?
Oh, shoot.
inch
and a quarter. I mean, it's right there. Yeah. I know my dad and I were talking when I shot that bear, and he was wondering how I was able to pull it off. And I said, I can shoot a quarter at 100 yards. I better be able to kill a bear at 120, no matter how nervous I am.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a big bear because Levi's, you're not a small dude, right? I never seen you, but I mean, just by judge, you got to be like 6'2".
I'm about 6'2", 260, so I'm not a little guy.
Yeah, he's a bear himself. So I,
he's a very respectable Montana bear, but you put him next to the bears that these guys are killing in Canada, and they don't compare. I mean, he ended up scoring about 5'4", nose to tail, which is a great bear in Montana, and I'm tickled pink with him, but you probably wouldn't be shooting that in Canada.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you go up there, even the bodies on their deer are just mutants, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So antelope actually get up into Canada too, don't they? Like, and are they big up there too? Like do they migrate out of there?
I'm not sure. I know like Alberta has some tremendous antelope hunting. Mm-hmm. I know horn wise, they get very big. Body wise, I couldn't tell you if they're any different than the goats we have down here.
Yeah, I just every time I see them guys hunting, either whether whitetail or mule deer up there, I'm just like, God, look at the freaking body on those things. But you know, people in Texas see our deer up here and like, man, look at the bodies on those. So,
yep, exactly.
I'm looking at their antler size down in Texas, and they're looking at the body size up
there. Yep.
Oh man. So I see. What'd you do with what do they call it on a deer? The hide or the pelt or what do you want to call it?
Yeah.
What'd you do with that?
So in Montana, you actually have to pack out the hide, the whole hide, to be checked in. So they go through it, look at everything, make sure everything's kosher. They have to make sure that you didn't shoot a sow with cubs. Certain units, you can only harvest so many sows. So they do a bunch of checks on your hide and stuff, and they pull a tooth. So I pulled that whole hide off and packed it out, and then a lot of guys don't eat bear. I'd never shot one. I'd never tasted one. So I packed the meat out too, because I definitely wanted to try it.
I did see you made the sausage and you said it was good, right? So how did you make the sausage? Did you mix it with pork like you do other sauces, or just what do you do with that?
So I was lazy. I took it to 3B Meats, which I do with most of my animals. And they made, I had it envisioned the whole time before I went that if I did kill a bear, I wanted to make blueberry sausage. I'd had it before. A buddy of mine had the deer made into it, and it was sweet. It tasted similar to like if you get syrup on your country style sausage.
Really?
And so that was kind of what I envisioned. This didn't turn out sweet, but it tastes, if somebody would have given it to me, I would have said it was pork sausage. I would have never known that it was there. There's no wild taste to it.
It looked good, man. I mean, it looked good. I was looking at that picture. I was like, damn, that does look good.
I took some to work today and passed it around. Of course, I didn't tell them what it was till after the fact. Everybody was like, man, I should start bear hunting.
I think I've only had one person tell me they didn't like bear, but for the most part, I think everybody else told me that it's good, you know.
Well, so. And I think that's with anything. You know, there's people that don't like deer. There's people that don't like antelope, elk, what have you. I grew up with my dad's cooking, and so deer and antelope, deer especially, I grew up eating deer and I love deer. And you know, people talk about the gamey taste, and I think that's the good
deer,
flavor,
right?
Of the deer, you know, I mean, that's, I enjoy it.
Yeah, I just, sometimes it's stronger than others. I mean, for whatever reason, I know I've had some deer that I was like, oh man, that's strong. But I'll tell you what, I'm gonna get to a few of these comments here, Levi, because
they're flying in here.
I'm slacking here. We started, okay, let's see here. Whalem, my cousin Dave, he's tuned in down in Georgia. Gene says, women's opinion only matters when you marry them. Yeah, I mean, it definitely matters then for sure. It's a whole different ballgame. Eric,
is that the mayor of Mobridge?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, lever action, heavy lever action there. Eric Newman said he went bear hunting in Idaho a while back. Was a blast. Been applying for bear in Minnesota.
Me too. What? Hopefully one of these days I draw Minnesota.
So a buddy of mine goes to Wisconsin every year. I didn't even know they really had bears there. But yeah, he gets bears. Yeah, he does. He shoots big ones. Mayor says, my first antelope was in Harding County with an SKS. Perfect. I love it. How many shots, Gene? Just one? Did you use soft point on it there then, or what'd you use? Eric Newman, antelope is his favorite hunt and eat. I mean, yeah, I think antelope's best when it's canned, really. You ever eat any canned meat, Levi?
I've had canned meat. Actually, Kurt Scirocco has given me some in the past, but I've not tried doing it myself yet.
Yeah, don't let anybody, like, you know, you're going to blow the counter up. I mean, there's a pressure release. I mean, if you leave it in there too long, like Marty Beard did, and then it comes squirting out the hole, you know, the pressure release. Yeah, they had chicken all over the ceiling in his house. So.
I didn't know it could leave it all.
Yeah, I didn't know it could do that, but he said, oh, it did it. So one shot, Cap. Good evening, 7-0 Nation. Good evening, Cap. Appreciate you tuning in. Eric, he loves bear meat. Eric's like, he's heavy wild game too. I think you and him would probably get along with the eating, you know. I mean, some people eat rattlesnake. You ever eat that?
Yep.
Really? Yeah, so what'd you think of that?
It's like chicken neck. There ain't much meat there.
Probably like eating my neck here. There's not much on that.
I got a good one.
Yeah, they get you first before me if they get hungry.
So, we actually butchered a porcupine one time.
Okay, so I heard that's good. Eric tells me. What'd you think of it?
It tastes like chewy pork, like the stuff you get at the Chinese restaurant. I thought really? It was good. But it was a lot of work.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't. Did you get, how many times did you get poked? Then did you get one stuck in you?
I don't remember it being too bad, but I know it took us a long time to skin it, and then we got done with the meat we had, and we're like, I don't know if this was quite worth it.
I don't know if it was worth it, right? We should just threw a steak on or something. Mm-hmm. Waylon Turner says, I'd eat antelope over deer.
I love antelope.
I probably would too, to be honest. I mean, I think, you know, I definitely think where you shoot it makes a difference too. Because, you know, we're north of Golden Valley. I don't know if you know where Golden Valley is, yep. West of Beulah there. But I mean, when they had a season, we'd go up and shoot doe. If you know, the doe, I mean, because they're eating freaking, you know, alfalfa all year, and man, that stuff tasted so damn good. It was, you know, I wish you had a season again, but you never know. Hey, Levi, you ever skin a grizzly one shot, Cap ass?
I have not, and I have two fears in my life, grizzlies and women, so I usually kind of stick away from the grizzlies.
Sounds like you're not full of common sense there, Levi. I like where you're at there, buddy. All right, I tell you what, we're going to – so if you're just tuning in, we're going to do, I'd say, about 8:40 here. We're going to do the trivia question here for the draw, and whoever gets it, it's a two-part answer. You got to get them both right, but if you get it, you're going to get the one free barrel threading from Bloodline Kinetics. You're one of our great sponsors in Bismarck. Levi knows the answers, so hopefully, you know, he promised me he wasn't going to text his buddies, so so hang in there. If you're just tuning in, we are doing it. We haven't done it yet. Levi, we're going to take our first break here, our first commercial break here from our great sponsors. As soon as I find it right here, let me see if I get the right. See, you guys got this set up for me, so I'm not sure which one. All right, right here's our first one. We'll be back in a couple minutes. So, hey, if you got a weak bladder like me, Levi, but you're a young guy, I think your prostate's pretty good. All right, hang in, we'll be right back.
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. mistake.
Make no mistake.
Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair. 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights,
Bloodline,
and the science behind gun accuracy,
Kinetics.
To some, it's just a constant constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
All right, we are back. Levi, still got you?
Yes, sir.
All right, awesome. I know them commercials are super loud, and we were talking about tech stuff before. I'm waiting for Clay or Deacons to turn that volume down on them babies for me.
They look cool commercials, though. I really enjoy watching them when I watch you guys' show.
Yeah, Deacons does that. Mike does that. He does an awesome job on those. I mean, you know, Clay thought I did a pretty good voiceover, and I seen Deacons. I'm like, nah, pull me off there. Those are way better. We'll get a few comments going here. Let's see here. Okay, grizzled and women. Grizzled and women, when both are mad, they are the same. Yeah, for sure. Wayne Moody. Hey, guys, he's walking through Shields. Listen, appreciate that,
good
Wayne.
Buddy Wayne.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about a little bit later here. About you guys in the right, you were down filming a little Ranch America there at Scott's, and you were working cattle, right, Scott Buck?
Yep. Yeah, Wayne and I drove down there together.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, awesome. So yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just go ahead and hit on that right now. So what happened down there? I mean, what River Class? That's the guy's name who runs this, right?
Yep. So that Wayne's way more knowledgeable in the Ranch America than I am, but you know, they're going around and they're kind of showing our way of life as ranchers, which I think is more important now than ever before. There's lots of people that need to be understanding how our way of life is and how it affects everybody with everything going on, and then just to show the fun parts of it, you know, like going to Scott's branding, but showing how vital that is to our community. Mm-hmm. And his is a really good example. Scott's branding is a very good example of how a community helps each other.
So how many guys do you think you had down there as branding?
Oh shoot, there had to be, with kids, I'd say there's probably 40 people.
Yeah. When I was a kid, so my favorite part of doing branding is when my family used to have cattle and we worked them, and I always enjoyed the Roundup the best, man, just because I could rag the shit out of the three-wheelers or the motorcycle or whatever.
we were horseback.
Yeah, I got punished for that when we got back because we didn't have a cradle. They were just like, get in there and grab one, boy. And, yeah. You know, my buddies, they'd always liked it when I brought my buddies up. We'd usually go Memorial Day weekend. We'd go up to my grandparents when they were alive at Lake Skakwea. They had a cabin, and then come back and we'd work cattle. So we usually had a few buddies with me, and yeah, they liked that. And yeah, I seen them when I first saw them cradles work. I was just like, man, what have I been doing? You know, getting kicked and plowed over. I mean, when you're 18, early 20s, man, you want to show all your buddies what a big tough bastard you are, and throw it down and see that, boys. Where's the biggest one? I want to hold that. You get that leg on your kick.
Yeah,
I remember.
I'm not that old yet, but I know I told Wayne on the way down there. I said, "Boy, I sure used to enjoy this a lot more when I was younger."
Yeah,
every year it gets a little bit harder.
Oh man, I think the last time I did it, I was probably in my late 30s or right about 40. And Steve Cluton still lived up here. He had some cattle up here at the Elk Ranch up north of Bismarck, and I was like, "Hey, you know what? I think I got one." But it wasn't bad. You know, me and another guy were holding them down, and my buddy Bill Beard, who's a freaking championship team roper. He made it easy. He'd go in there. I'm like, yeah, why didn't you do this when we were younger? He's like, you guys didn't have horses.
Yep.
I saw you were roping too, right? You're pretty handy with the rope. I saw some.
I wouldn't say I'm too handy. I'm okay. Shoot, there was 12, 13-year-old kids at that branding that could outrope me, but
That's probably what they do all day, though, on a dummy, and right? Yep. I mean, they're cowboyed up already. And I know
the night before when we were drinking and roping the roping dummy, I sure could catch, but...
I had a little aiming juice in you?
Yeah, I just needed some aiming fluid the next day, and I just was missing it, I guess.
That's freaking... Because I tried to rope, man, and, you know, you wouldn't know that my best friend growing up was a championship team roper. If you saw me grab a rope, you'd be like, put it down, dude. You know, it'd be like some liberal picking up a rifle and like, hey, set it down. You're not trained, man. Oh, good. But yeah, so what'd they do when they filmed you guys down there? I mean,
well, and River jumped right in. You know, he was doing everything with us. I brought a horse down for him, and he helped round up, and he roped off of him, and you know,
he was on a rope too.
Yep. Oh, yep.
God, everybody does with me.
That's all you got to do is jump in and try.
Yeah, right. Right. Just
get started.
Just look dumb as long as I catch them. And so the first episodes are airing. I think Wayne had a post right in September.
Yeah, I think he did. I just was looking at his comment and I laughed.
I could even rope too when we were roping the dummy and drinking. I thought, wow, Wayne knows the beards real good, so he'd probably just. I don't know if he's good roper as the beards. I guess I don't know Wayne's, but he's probably underselling himself here too.
He can definitely rope.
Yeah, see, I mean that's good. You know, you gotta just play it cool. Like it's like playing pool. Yeah, I'm okay, and then you get in the game. And
I told him, I said I'm not a real good roper, but I said I can fish pretty good. I just throw them in and let them walk into it. When you get them out, nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll remember that if I ever got to do that.
Yeah, just let them walk into it.
If I could just back up to it with my Kawasaki mule and then punch it when they get in there.
There you go.
I used to ride horse a lot when I was a kid, but anymore, I'd get on and they'd probably be like, you ever ride a horse before, dude?
I don't ride near like I used to. When I was a kid, I rode all the time, and I was too lazy to put on a saddle. I rode bareback all the time, and I don't ride near like I used to, but between work and my hunting obsession, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's what a guy ever prioritizes. That's just how it goes. So,
and I broke my father's heart. I bought a four-wheeler about 4 years ago now, and never looking at me the same again.
Once I got my first motorcycle, man, it was all over with, and you know, I sold my horse, and like I was more like of a trail rider, and we went to the Badlands, and you know, I always told my buddy, I definitely never thought of myself as a cowboy. I was always more of a redneck than a cowboy. So, mm-hmm. And that remains true today.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I like rednecks. But I'm just going to ask, let's talk a little gun action here. You said you use that 300. So like, what do you think your favorite rifle and cartridge is? Just like all around.
Definitely 300 Win Mag. I've been playing with the idea of getting a 300 PRC. Just haven't decided to pull the trigger on it yet. The 300 Win Mag's been so good to me that I've just had to stick with it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, I know you said you were in a ballistics geek, and I mean, I am on some things, but, you know, what's the difference between a 300 PRC and a 300, like, velocity or anything? You know, any differences on that?
As far as I know, I think, the PRCs are a little faster and a little flatter. I mean,
with turrets and drop reticles anymore, though, right? I mean,
yeah, it's not too big of a deal. I know, like, I killed my biggest mule deer to date last year, and I shot him at 702 yards with that gun.
Damn, nice shooting, man.
And so, I mean, it's...
What'd that score?
He scored 164.
Sweet. And where'd you get him at?
In eastern Montana, on public land, even.
I mean, that's a huge deer for public land.
And I'm a private land hunter, but I got lucky.
Well, hey, sometimes you got to be that way, man. You know, biggest whitetail I ever got, 100% luck. So I'm not, you know, I'll take it. So we got a question here for you. One Shot Cap says, hey, Levi, are the antelope having their fawns yet?
Yes, they are. I've actually been getting quite a few buddies sending me pictures and videos of the little guys running around.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, antelope fawns are about the cute. They didn't get much cuter than that, does it? They're tiny. Cute. I mean, yeah. Oh man,
they're tiny.
I love deer fawns too, but yeah, I mean, antelope. When I see them little antelopes, I'm like, God, that's a cute little sucker. So Josh mm-hmm. Patterson says, "What bow you shooting when you bow hunt, Levi?"
So I was a Hoyt guy forever, and I hope John Armand's not watching this because I
jumped. If anything, he'll be listening to the podcast and get you.
I jumped ship this year. I bought a Matthews. I still have my Hoyt as my backup, and I love the new Matthews, the lift, but they all have things that I like and I don't like. So I still got my Hoyt Ventum kind of as my backup, but we'll see as the season goes. I might flip flop.
Okay. So what is it faster? Or, I mean, what?
Yep.
Like what's IBO? What's the IBO on your old one to this one you just bought?
So the Ventum, it was an 80-pound, it's got 80-pound limbs on it. And I always joked I got the 80-pound limbs so I could get complete pass-throughs on turkeys.
It'll do that one, right?
That one was shooting right at 295 feet per second with, 525 grain arrows. This is a 70-pound limb bow, the lift is, and it's shooting 293. So I was like, that's pretty dang good.
You're about to get sunned out in your eyeballs.
Yeah, I know. I see that.
If you want to handle that, go ahead. Or
yeah,
if not,
I might just switch over.
Either that or you're going to throw your sunglasses on. One or two.
Didn't think that one through.
So I know a lot of these new bows are going. They're saying like 350. Have you shot any of those?
I have not.
I'm just curious if the accuracy sucks because they go so fast.
In this day and age, I don't think your accuracy is going to suffer. They're making such good bows now, it doesn't matter what company you go with. And at this point, they're pretty much trying to reinvent the wheel, in my opinion. And they're so good, yeah. I don't know how much better you're going to get.
Right.
But I shoot like a heavier arrow, and so I don't think I will be able to get to that 350 range.
I mean, honestly, you're heavier. I mean, you're going to get pass-throughs either with a heavier...
Typically, you know,
and I got my crossbow is like 380, and I always say like, God, some of these now are going like 500. I'm like, you're gonna never find your freaking bolt, man. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I think even mine that is so freaking fast. I mean, I could probably shoot through an elephant with that sucker.
Yeah, you don't hit no bones.
No. What are you using for? Do you use a mechanical or do you use a fixed then?
So the last couple years I've been shooting mainly mechanicals. I debated it pretty hard last year, elk hunting, if I was going to switch it up and go with fixed blades or stick with what I know. And I ended up going with a mechanical and it did the job. Did not get a pass through, but I shot him at 65 yards and heart shot him, but I only got about a foot of penetration.
So. Really? Well, I mean, that's... I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. My crossbow would probably go through that.
I would think so.
I shoot mechanicals. I know a lot of guys. I think, I don't remember the guy's name, but he's a big bow and crossbow guy. But I emailed him once and he uses like super heavy fixed blades. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to be lobbing cannonballs out there, but I don't know.
I think they both have their places. My justification to myself with shooting mechanical is you don't always hit where you aim, or you screw up, you pull a shot, deer ducks, what have you. I want the biggest hole I can get.
Right. Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I used the two that I got were Rages, and I mean, they bled out super fast.
And that's actually what I'll be using this year. My plan is to shoot tripans this year.
So is that the new one where they got, because the ones I got still got like that rubber collar, and then she tried to get to replace the ones and freaking things never seem to hold on there. And I'm just like,
yeah,
these
are the no collars. I think they came out a couple years ago. A buddy of mine kind of actually turned me on to them because he had showed me a couple pictures of deer that he had shot with them. And I mean, the holes in them are so big, like the deer he shot last year, granted, he made a great shot, but the half the lung was hanging out the hole.
Yeah. I mean, they do put a freaking damn big hole in them. There's no freaking doubt about that. So what do you use? Okay, your big game here, 300 Win Mag. What do you go for, like prairie dogs and coyotes? I mean, you still just like screw it, I shoot my 300, or do you go with something?
I do use my 300 a lot just to stay on my game with that gun. I want it to be second nature to me when I lay down with that gun and shoot it. So I use that a lot. I don't have a lot of rifles. I grew up shooting prairie dogs with 22. So I do that from time to time. And then
that's fun.
A good neighbor of mine, the guy that makes or reloads my rounds for me, he's got an arsenal. So if I go to his place and shoot, I can grab whatever the heck I want.
Yeah. I mean, I got, I don't know, 10 to, I guess I wouldn't even know an accurate, I mean, talking handguns and everything, 10 to 15 and,
We took his .454 Casull out one day trying to shoot that thing. Was rough. No, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but my wrist sure felt it when we were done.
I believe it. Well, unless you get a dot or something on, if you're trying to shoot something small with irons at any range, But yeah, so what do you? So mostly 22 then when you're shooting prairie dogs, you don't got like a 223 or nothing like that?
I don't have a 223 yet. I've been playing with the idea of trying to get a coyote set up and, AR with a thermal on it. But my priority has been big game, and usually I'm pretty busy doing that all year. Mm-hmm. So I just
when I see coyotes, I'm going to be honest, like calling them, the patience for that, man, I just don't have it. And some of my buddies dig it, and our neighbor, and I'm just like, yeah, hey, you guys want to do it? Really? I'm like, for it.
All my buddies, I let go in there and coyote hunt on our place, and it does me a favor. And with them not being worth anything, it doesn't really turn my crank, but I got a buddy that's big into thermal hunting. So I'll go with him a couple times a year, and daylight calling coyotes just really
it's not like I don't enjoy shooting one when I see it.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Gene says they do make human-sized guns. Yeah, they make a gun size for about anything, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what. Should we do this giveaway?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So what we're going to give away here from our sponsor, one of our sponsors, Bloodline Kinetics, they got one free barrel threading job to include thread protector and one thread adapter for specific caliber and barrel diameter. Not refundable for cash or other cash offers. $100 to $150 value. So here's what the question is going to be. And I'll tell you, it's a two-part question. So don't, when I ask the first question, don't get all crazy and I got this. And don't put it in, don't answer it right away because it's just two-part. You got to get them both right. And, the first one to get it right, like I said, I told Levi, he might be able to see for whatever reason, sometimes other people can see the answers first. I mean, it'll come through, but you got to get them both right. And the first one that gets it, they will get this. And if you don't know where Bloodline Kinetics, they're in Bismarck here. If you didn't hear the first commercial, gun builder, he's building Clay and I each a rifle and barrel threading, chambering. He does everything. So yeah, Levi, if you want to pimped out coyote rifle, go talk to our man Jake down there at Bloodline and probably hook you up with some. I've been in a shop, like I said, it looks like you ever seen the end of the first Terminator when they go into that building and all them machines in there. He's talking to me, I'm like, man, you're way over my head with this stuff.
Just want to look around.
yeah and he is actually texting me today and said we can take out some of his custom made stuff and start doing some field testing with him. Boy, I hate to do that, right?
I suppose we can make that
happen. Yeah, I suppose I'll torture myself here and do that. All right, so, like I said, two-part question. And this is according to SIGs, one of the sales managers here at SIG. I can't remember what his title is there, but he worked at, like, Winchester and a couple other gun companies. But here's the first part of the question. Like I said, you got to get them both right, so don't answer right away at the first one. You got to get them both right. So 60% of hunting rifles are chambered for two cartridges. What two cartridges are those? And of those two, there's one of them that's obviously one of them gets, higher sales percentage than that. Which one is that? So again, 60% of hunting cartridges are chambered hunting rifles, whatever you want to say. 60% of hunting rifles are chambered for two cartridges. You got to get those two right. And of those two, which one is the number one? So the first person that can get that right And you can go ahead and Google it all you want. I don't think you're going to find it. I heard this on a podcast from a very popular hunting guy. So if you want to go ahead and quick try and look that up,
And I can say I got them both wrong. So
yeah, but you did get the bonus one right. You did get the bonus one right. So, I mean, they're all Googling right now, right? Or whatever they use, Google, whatever search engine they use. Either that or they're just like, screw it, right?
Just send your best shot.
Yeah. Give her a go. Cause if you get it wrong, I'm not saying you're done. You can guess again. Gene Cox, 30-30, 30-06. Nope. Wrong, Gene. And I'm not going to tell you if you're wrong on both or one. But, I mean, you might be in the caliber territory on one of them. 7-M-08 and 308. 308 is the most popular. Nope, you're not right, Eric. Like I told Gene, you're in the ballpark there with the 30. Google is cheating.
Hey, if it is cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, who said that? One of the wrestlers there. 243, 30-06. Nope, not right, Josh. Oh, come on, ask an antler question. See, I had to make it hard. I had to make it a little difficult so nobody could just look it up right away and get it, right? Because I'm probably 270, 308. Nope, Ivan, like I said, some of you guys got half of it, but 270, 308 is not right. I think you said 270, right?
I did, yeah, I figured.
Yeah, that was one of your guesses, right?
Figured that was a popular one.
Yeah, you said 270 and 243, I thought.
Yep.
Okay, so, yeah. Not right. So you got to keep guessing. You know, because antler stuff, I mean, yeah, I had to make it. 6'5 Creed, 223. Nope. I'll tell you this much. You know, you guys are getting closer, though. You're not right.
Good question. I mean, good answers, though.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are, I mean, you're sniffing right around it, man. And, you know, you're right by the pot. You just got to sit down on it. Oh, so what? Until these guys get her going here, Levi, 243, 308. Nope, not right, Wayne. What are the deer and antelope looking like down at your place?
Deer is still a little bit of a process right now. Antelope look better than they ever have.
Really? Okay. Awesome. That's great.
223, 270, no. 223, 308, no.
No. I'll tell you what, I'll give you guys this bit of a clue. I did see the two of the right answers in there, and nobody's lined them up yet, though. Right? And that's just the first part. They got to get the second part.
Yeah,
right.
The second part, yeah.
Well, that's just a great question. You got these guys stumped. That's right. I mean, the fingers are. You know, you want that threading badly. Last guess, Gene says 30-06 and 6'5 Creed top. Nope. Gene, that doesn't have to be your last guess. You're not right, though.
Keep her coming. Yeah. Doug Wolf, 223 and 22. You know, 22 would have been a good one to guess. Not right, but that you'd think that would have been a good one.
Right. So Lynette says, remember the hotter and colder game. Well, some of these guys, nope, Wayne, you guys are like half hot and half cold. Like I said, you just got to – nope, Ivan, nope. You're halfway there, man. You know? So, yeah, I would say deer at our place, 308. Oh, Eric almost had it. Let's start a commercial with the guy with the fishing pole. He almost had it.
You got to be quicker than that.
you got to be quicker on them keyboards, man. If you get it, you got to be quicker on that. You got me. No idea. Man, Josh, all you got to do is
send another one.
Right. Just throw it out there, man. Right. I'm saying almost everything but the correct answer to you guys.
Yeah, it's hard.
But yeah, the deer, they were looking. I mean, last deer season, it was down for sure. But antelope, I would definitely say the antelope are down as of right now. And the pheasants are freaking just going to, if nothing happens weird, that's going to be the best pheasant hunting season. 308, 30-06. Nope. Whalen, you're halfway there. Greg Erickson, nope. Just beep beep on both of them. Yep. Yeah, you're getting colder, man. getting colder.
Yeah, I've been impressed with the pheasants and partridge. I've never seen so many dang partridge in my life.
Agreed.
I'm not.
Oh, we got a winner. We got a winner. Oh, Josh 308 Patterson. And 6'5", 6'5", top. Josh Patterson. Josh Patterson. Ding, 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 ding. Winner. He was going to give up too, right? He said he was stuck.
Yeah.
All right, Josh. Congratulations, Josh. Whalen. Nope. Josh has got it. Whalen Turnus. Or I mean, Josh Patterson. 308, 6'5", Creed. The 6'5". And everybody's like, oh, 6'5" is number one. It did, but he did say slightly ahead of the 308. So everybody who says the 308 is an outdated old piece of junk, which I definitely don't agree with. 308 still, and you know, hunting rifles, I guess what he said, you know, take your, you know, some people probably get picked. I hung my 308 AR. So did I, but you know, I'm thinking, you know, like the Sig Cross and, you know, your typical European traditional stock bolt, you know, whether you want a 10 round mag or whatever, but right. So Josh, I got this baby for you. Guns at guns in the 701 doc. I might actually have your address yet in the emails. Let me check. But send your address to guns at guns in the 701.com and I'll get this baby in the mail for you. Thanks to Eric's guest, I got it. He said, my boy will be happy to know 6'5 is top. He loves it. Yeah.
Hey, we talked about it earlier. Everybody likes to talk crap about the 6'5 Creedmoor, and I say that it is the Nickelback of guns. Everybody talks crap, but they all listen.
Yeah, yeah. And I said right when you were saying it, I'm like, yeah, and I like Nickelback.
I do too.
With some Nickelback today. Oh, all right. So we're gonna hit our next. Doug Wolsick, congrats, Josh. We're gonna hit our big ad here. This is our all four of our sponsors on it. And like I told Levi, I like to keep it about an hour and 15. So got a few more things I want to hit on here. I'll tell you what, guys, we're just for the hell of it, and we come back out of this same podcast I was listening to. I mean, it's just so you can thump your chest a little if you get it right. What was the number one Magnum hunting rifle? When we come back from the break here, go ahead and put your answers in the chats, and we'll see how many people can get it right. So, all right, Levi, so if hang in there, if you gotta go get a drink or whatever. I know you got to work. I mean, water, but, you know, I can probably refresh mine.
There you go.
All right, we'll be right back here in about 4 or 5 minutes, guys. Hey, if you don't go, I appreciate it if you don't go, because then, you know, you can see our sponsor. So, all right,
absolutely.
We'll be right back. Right on.
Now let me see your war face. You don't scare me.
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Ever tried catching a fish with your bare hands or hunting a deer with a stick? Don't be that guy. At Mandan Sporting Goods, we've got all the hunting and camping gear you need. We're your one-stop shop for outdoor adventure.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Check us out at mandansportinggoods.com or, better yet, stop in to 210 East Main Street, Mandan, North Dakota. Mandan Sporting Goods, where the outdoors meets functionality. Store hours, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Closed Sunday. Take up arms at Mandan Sporting Goods. Your adventure starts here.
Discover the world of firearms at Bismarck's Double H Gun Shop. With a wide range of products from handguns to rifles, we cater to all your shooting needs. We are your local gun experts. Not only do we sell firearms, reloading supplies, targets, and whatever your heart desires, but we also have a ton of knowledge and answers.
We shoot, we hunt, we compete, we reload.
It's been the Howard's way since 1976, and we ain't fixing to change anything. Visit our website at hhgunshop.com to browse our inventory. Double H Gun Shop, Bismarck's best new and used firearms. Firearm reloading supply, gunsmithing, and sporting goods store. Double H Guns.
Double H Guns.
1021 South Washington Street, Bismarck, North Dakota. Call 701-223-4888.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. Levi's
looking all dark here.
Yeah. We got our guest here. Levi Nelson, there we go. We got you there, buddy.
All the light.
Man, I'm having a good time with you. We might have to get you a little more set up here and get you on a regular guest here on the show. I like this. So I got the bonus question, just kind of a pride thing here. What are the number one Magnum hunting rifle cartridge here? So I didn't see anybody got it right, Levi. We had 7mm Rem Mag, Josh. Ivan Lardy, Whalen Turn. That was my guess, right? I told you that was gonna be mine. One shot caps is 338 Win. Nope. I'll give you guys a hint. It's this man's right here. It's his favorite one. What you got his deer with, or his bear? I mean your deer. Yeah. You probably got your deer. Well, you got your deer with it too.
I think half the animals behind me have been killed with the 300.
Yeah. Yeah. He did say by far the 300 Win Mag was the number one. Of hunting rifle chambers. There you go, Eric. Hey, did he hear us?
I think it's delayed a little bit.
Is it? Okay. All right, Eric. You're right, Eric. That is what it was. We just said it a little bit ago, but yeah, you're right on that. So yeah, but yeah. Yeah. Like you're saying, the pheasants look good. Partridge up at our place too. It's crazy. It's grouse too. The grouse are back.
We had a bunch of grouse.
Do you get it gratis, or do you have to apply it, or what do you do?
So my dad still takes the gratis tag every yeah. year. He makes me jump into the application, but lucky for us, we're in the most hated unit in North Dakota, so the Game and Fish make sure I get a tag every year because they give one to everybody.
3F2, right? That's where yeah. you guys are in, Don? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think hunted in there.
It's fun to kind of pick on some of my buddies that apply for the Badlands or wherever, and they talk about how many years it's been since they drew a buck tag. And I was like, I think I've only gotten two whitetail buck tags in my whole life. The rest have all been any antlered.
There you go. That Whalen Turn is 3F2, baby.
Yeah. I think Whalen grew up, in the same area I'm in, like with Scott Bachmeyer and stuff. Yep. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hunted down, I mean, I got out of deer hunting for a while there, but my buddy got me back in, and I just started apply with me down there, and they had they rented a hunting cabin, and it was good. I mean, I enjoyed hunting down there. So
Shields, yeah, he's down by Shields, and I say I'm from Solon. I live in Mandan when I work. I have a place up here. I don't have room in the old ranch to keep all my mounts, so I said I just needed a place to store all my stuff. But
yeah.
But I say I'm from Solon, and Solon and Shields, they ain't real far. You can make both bars before bar close.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've been down there many times. The Solon one for sure. Shields not as much, but Solon, I mean, man.
Go party with the Gerhardt and Freilich boys.
Yeah, it's well, when you guys were talking to council that prairie dog shoot, right?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. And I know I had heard talk about it that they were having some issues, quote unquote issues with prairie dog numbers. Yeah. And I listened to KLND radio quite a bit, Little Eagle, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the plague and how they were losing all their prairie dogs. Everybody else is cheering and they're like,
yeah,
oh, and that's a form of revenue.
They're sad. Everybody else is, the ranchers and farmers are like, yes, get rid of them. Yeah. Josh says, Shields has their egg and lollipop shoot this Saturday instead of the prairie dog shoot. Yep.
That's what I meant. Pretty fun.
I met Josh down there, him and, oh man, I'm having a blank of his friend there. But yeah, we met him down there at the last year. Doug and I were, Doug and I have been a team a couple times. We didn't win anything, but, the Tom we were on was, it was fun, man. We had a fun time. And then in the bar down there, was it the Wagon Wheel or something? I can't remember what it's called on Main Street there.
Shoot, I can't even place it.
Rich Johnner. There you go. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Got a picture with them guys. But yeah, we had a blast down there. And like you said, didn't win. But the first time Doug and I were, we got like almost zero. I mean, it was so windy that day and crappy that there. Yeah, we tied with you in access here. Yeah, we were hanging in the top 10 after just a little bit, and then we got booted out pretty quick. I'm going to make up for it tomorrow, though. So I was going to say, if anybody's tomorrow afternoon there, if you're just east of New Salem, heading east on the interstate, and you see some guys right off the interstate in a little prairie dog town there, go ahead and beep your horn. That's going to be Axe and I and my buddy Brian, and Clayton's going to be there. I can't remember which one of his boys is coming up, but it's kind of a smaller town, but I've been eyeballing that sucker. And Doug whipped out his Onyx, and we looked, I'm like, that's it right there. Oh, I think I know them guys. So then he texted me, yeah, we got permission. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah, they're going to poison it. We can go in there. I'm like, sweet. So that's going to be two action in there, man. Going to be fun. So you did. So you put in for a muley then, or do you get any antlers? Because my unit, you got to put in for a muley buck or a whitetail buck.
Yeah. So 3F2 is any antlered, and then I put in for a whitetail buck, second choice. But
because I hunted there, all I shot was whitetails. So
when we used to have so many whitetails, when we got hit with EHD, I picked up 42 whitetail buck skulls.
Oh my God! Really?
I mean, it was just atrocious.
That's unbelievable.
Now we got more mule deer than I've ever had before, and I'm slowly starting to slide over to the other team a little bit, kind of liking the mule deer a little bit more. And whitetails have just kicked my butt forever. I've still yet to shoot a real big whitetail. Granted, I haven't shot anything real big as far as mule deer either, but I think 142 is where I'm at for whitetails, my top.
Yeah, I mean, not small, not big. Nice buck, regardless.
No, very respectable deer. I'm pumped with them, but I just can't quite convince one of them bigger ones.
I can tell you, I got some 142s hanging in my garage, so.
They're good deer.
Whitetail, yeah, yeah. And that happened to us, too. I mean, I think in like 2010 or 11, it came through the first time and wiped them out, and they kind of come back, and then it came back again.
2021 was the first time we've ever had it. Like growing up, when I heard EHD, I always thought that was an Iowa thing. You know, I never seen it in our area. And then 2021, it was late summer, and our neighbor had actually called me, and he said that they had found some dead cows, and he was wondering if it was due to EHD. And so I freaked out right away. I did go check cows first, verified I didn't have any cows that were down. But then I started going and checking cameras, and my camera in a week span, JD, a week, I went from 1,500 pictures to 300 in one week.
Oh, my God.
And I had it on the edge of a coulee, and I walked down in that coulee, and all you could smell was death. And I walked 150 yards, and I found 6 deer.
Jeez.
It was just downhill from there. I mean, every nice deer, every up-and-coming deer. And I couldn't tell you how many whitetail does and whitetail fawns we had that were dead, but we've slowly been building back up. You know, this last year, we had decent numbers, nothing big, but the mule deer have just rolled in.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people get mad at that, and me, I love mule deer. I'll take either one. If we had all whitetail, I'd be cool with that. And I mean,
Gene just commented, if it's brown, it's down. I'm equal opportunity hunter. I don't care if you're, as long as I got a tag for you and you turn my crank, I'm gonna shoot you.
That's how open minded I am, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not racist at all.
No, not at all, for sure.
When it comes to cows, I'm racist.
I noticed that with you ranchers and your cows.
Better my dad has some,
yeah. Like, but Scott says, well, Black Lives Matter. I better watch how they're going to try and come after us and all that.
Yeah. Like they did him.
Yeah. Well, we're a little small. We're just a little bit smaller than him. So I'm not too worried yet. So I agree, Levi. Mule deer are definitely overrunning our place house. Yeah, it's, and we found, there was tons of whitetails that got, died on our place. And, there's a couple nice freaking bucks around there. And like you said, it's coming back slowly. You know, my daughter's got a tag, and I'm just like, man, I don't think I'm going to let her shoot one out there. We'll see what happens. And my brother-in-law called, my nephew's got his first tag, and I'm just like, we're going to find a place. But, I mean, we'll wait and see. But I said, don't plan on coming out to the farm for it.
Yeah, and you never know. You know, there's a deer can pop out, and then especially with this last winter, with how mild it was, and this the amount of moisture we're getting this spring, these younger deer, you know, these 3-4 year old deer that are 120, 130 inches, they could blow up.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, I mean, usually I always like tentatively say they're going to go 20 inches, but with this much nutrition and moisture, I mean, it could be way more than that.
And you think about it, and I was listening to a podcast that Lee Lakoski was on, and if anybody knows whitetails, they know who Lee Lakoski is. He said you will see the best size, the best herd size, like quality, inches on deer coming off of an EHD reboot, because there's less deer on the same amount of nutrients and the same amount of resources. Well, they're going to blow up. And so fingers crossed. Awesome.
It happens. Yeah. I know. I'm going to start. Usually in July is when I start like scouting, getting out and sitting, and because before then you see little nubs. Oh man! Oh, I don't want to get too excited yet, but
yeah. There's enough stuff keeping me busy now.
Especially you. Yeah, you're delaying.
Delaying a little bit of it.
I actually think that shit hung around like 2 years at our place, to be honest with you.
Really?
I think it did. Yeah. I think it did, and our neighbor guy, who's definitely way more into deer, Tanner, than I mean, I'm into deer, but he's, like, way into them, And he said that, and I was kind of like, I don't know. And then I kind of looked, I was finding them again. I'm like, God, I think he was right. And some of the mule deer had, like, weird antlers. I'm with Scott on that. Like, he said his mule deer, I think they made it through. They were sick with that shit, and they made it through, and it made their antlers look freaking weird, but.
Yeah, I know it messes, when Wayne will know more than I do, but it messes with their testosterone. Mm-hmm. And especially like 2021, 2022, we were seeing a lot of mule deer with velvet and rifle season.
Yeah. I saw a ton of that.
Something like that. Couldn't find one on our place. I looked.
But I'd go in the bar at night, look at this. So and so got this over by Beulah or South Zap. And I'm like, wow, that thing's in full freaking velvet. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I've yet to get one in full velvet. Early archery season, I cannot.
I got a whitetail. I got the first one I ever got. And that was in 2011, actually. But, now looking back, I probably should have let him go. I think he, probably 138, 140. But, I couldn't take it, man.
It's hard to pass those deer.
Especially if you've never gotten one in archery before. And, But Waylon Turnus, he's got a – let's see if we can put this up here with this new format we're on. There we go. My boy had his any tag this year. Going to head out to Scott's and try and get a big muley. He's pretty excited to do that. Dixie gave him permission to hunt out there a few weeks ago when he saw her. You can put some miles on up there. You guys will come back walking. Your legs will be like big turkey thighs, man, from walking in big ravines and stuff.
That'll be good for his first hunt, because it's not going to get handed to him. He's going to work for it, and he's going to appreciate it that much more.
So what do you think, Levi, if just say you had a kid and it was his first deer season with a buck, and you guys are out doing it, and let's just say like a 180 muley steps out, are you like, nah, I'm not letting you do that? Or are you like, yeah, just do it?
It's such a tough one. John and I have talked about it a lot, over the years, but I'll put it politically correct. That'd be like having your son's first kiss with a supermodel.
That's a freaking awesome analogy there.
It's you want it for him, but where to go after that.
I mean, if it's like a 150, probably I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. But then I'd be like, man, I don't know. In my mind, it would, because my first one was a freaking dink, man. It was a forker muley, and I was so jacked up. I mean, I'm pissed to this day because I lost moving around, and when I was younger, moving apartment to here, and I lost it, and I don't know where it is. But yeah, I mean, I wish I still had. But yeah, I was like, yeah, this is freaking awesome, man.
When my first deer I ever shot was by myself. Like, my dad's not a big hunter. He's a rancher that shoots deer.
Yeah. Oh, I know plenty. Yeah, for sure.
And he was so mad that I wanted to hunt the early rifle season for youth, but it was my first tag. I got to go. And so we had strict rules that I was not allowed to shoot a deer unless it was a giant. Well, a giant 2-point walked out and I couldn't let him walk. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. You know, it's all about stepping stones to me, you know, and like I said, I've still yet to shoot anything real big, but every animal you kill is a stepping stone, and it means something to you.
Yeah.
You know, behind me here, if I figure out my deal, that middle antelope.
Man,
right here,
you got some great antelope in there. Jeez.
That was my first ever antelope. And he's to this day, he's my biggest.
I was going to say way bigger than the one I got. So,
and it didn't ruin me, but it's like a constant battle trying to find one bigger than that. And when I shot it, I didn't appreciate it like I should have because I didn't know no different.
Right.
You know, and I think that it comes to a lot of people, you know, their first deer, they shoot giants. And then after that, you know, they look down on somebody else's smaller deer and it's like, no, like it's stepping stones.
Yeah.
And like we talked earlier, it's about luck. I mean, half of hunting is luck.
I mean, it is. I can think of a couple I shot, like two of my biggest ones. It was freaking luck, man. I was just walking 100%. Or we were driving and pulled up on some of our land and, you know, it wasn't like I was all, you know, and then I got smaller ones that I busted my ass for, which I appreciate a lot more. I mean, I'm actually kind of, I would say I'm maybe regressing because I mean, before I was like, there's no freaking way I'm shooting anything that's not 165, but I got a couple huge 3x3s, and I'm like, yeah, that's freaking, and they don't, you know, they don't score where they're crap, or if they're like, you know, 3x2 or something like that. Like a lot of guys, I need that perfect 5x5. I'm not like that anymore. I'm like, nah, if that thing's big, or if I, like you said, I like it, you see it, and you're like, yeah, I like that deer I'm shooting, and I'm completely jacked.
I know
that.
So many people want to put numbers to things. You know, they want to shoot this, they want to shoot that. And I've told my buddies for years, and a lot of my buddies kill a lot bigger deer than me. If I see them and it gets me excited, eat on. He gone.
Yeah, that's what mine was last year. My friend, I mean, one of my lifetime friends is with me, and he's like, nah, you don't want to shoot that one. I'm like, yeah, I do. You do? I'm like, yeah. I've been watching that sucker for like 3 months, and there he is, man. And yeah, I was freaking stoked when we got him. And, you know, I had a year old mount, definitely not a full head. But then I get out there, and, you know, you look at him, and you think of how you got him and your memories. And you're like, God, that was freaking. And it was a windy day, but the sun was out. And I'm like, man, it don't get no better than gutting this. And we're down to one of these ravines with no wind, baby. And I did do a superb job on gutting it, too. So.
I haven't gutted an animal in so long.
I actually enjoy that crap anymore, so
yeah,
which is weird.
The gutless method I've been doing the last couple of years, and I stay way cleaner that way. And see, I can do it so fast. Like I shot 5 antelope this last fall, and the last one I shot. I was with a group, and I said, I've done so many antelope this last year. I said, just time me, see how fast I can skin it, quarter it, and throw everything in bags. I had it in 35 minutes, skinned and quartered, and in our bags, drinking beer.
You know what you got to do? Video that, and then just go on there and let AI freaking cut it down for you.
Make it look real fast.
Yeah, and then just be like, yeah. Because I hate to give AI any credit, but that does cut shit down pretty cool for you. When I edit stuff sometimes, I'm like, damn, how the hell did I know? That's about what I would have did, you know? I'd like to see it though, because I mean, I have done that on a few deer, and I think we did it on an antelope too. I think actually on my antelope I got, we did that. But yeah, I don't know. Good. I just wasn't, you know. I'm like, I'm better gutting. I mean, you know, you just kind of like getting back to what's comfortable with you. And
yeah, and that's all that matters in the end. It's whatever you feel more comfortable with, and you know, and a lot of my animals I'm traveling with, so it's more convenient for me just to quarter them. And Wayne and I talked this last week. I said, I wish I was smart enough to debone things in the field. My packs would be a lot lighter.
Yeah, I think of that too all the time.
Oh, I wish I was. I said, I'm really good at deboning meat on a table.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, when I get deer, I mean, it's out at our place, you know, and then, you know, throw it in, take it back to the shop, and it's just
hang it.
But like if I'm out somewhere, like you were out in Montana or wherever, you're in the Badlands or something, you know, it's a lot easier at that point to do it. You know, just do it gutless and. Anyway, all right, Levi, we're about an hour and 10 here. I'm gonna do one more ad, and then we're gonna come back. We're gonna finish her up here real quick. Probably we'll hit it about 5 minutes, but we'll finish it up. So just hang in there. We'll be right back. I'm just gonna do this. We're gonna do the double ad here from our main big dogs here for us, and we'll be right back.
Gotta pay some bills.
Now let me see your war face. You don't scare me.
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Oh man, here we are. We're back. I'm just looking at stuff. I'll tell you, I'm gonna hit some of these comments here, Levi. I get to babbling here, and I apologize for missing some. You know, if you guys are listening on Rumble too, the Rumble comments don't come up, and I didn't check them out. I apologize for that. I know we do have a lot of listeners on Rumble here too. Like, you can see how many people are listening here. That's only on Facebook and YouTube. So I mean, we're on X and Rumble and Twitch. We just started on Twitch, so. If you guys like Twitch, I mean, that's super clear on Twitch. So, all right. Anyway, Josh Patterson, again, Josh, congratulations. Josh was our winner tonight of the barrel threading from Bloodline Kinetics. And he said his boy shot a spike with his rifle last year on his any tag. Then a few weeks later, shot a nice 8-point whitetail with his bow, which is his first archery deer.
Heck yeah.
Which is, yeah, whale and turnus. My first was a 2x3 when I was young. Yeah. And man, I know that's awesome. That's fun. It's the first time you get to do that. Yeah. And Gene Cox, the mayor down there in Mulbridge, ex-mayor, right? Meat inspector, federal meat inspector. He said his heart speeds up when a doe comes out. You know, mine does too. I just usually don't shoot them, even if I, like, I'll be honest with you. When I get a doe tag in our unit, I always put in for my second, you know, because if you don't get it on your first, you're not getting it in our unit. But I always get it usually just to, like, preserve a doe. Because I'm like, well, I'll save her and then, you know, in the two fawns she's going to have this spring. But, I mean, if some – go ahead.
We used to have – well, and they still do it. But we'd have the extra tags. And so they'd sell concurrent doe tags. And when I was starting, you know, the last few years, I'd buy about as many of those suckers as I could afford to, to waste some money on. And great practice. As much fun as a guy can have, and I like deer meat.
Oh, now, yeah.
Last year, I bought 5 of them, I want to say, and I didn't shoot any of them because I was doing the same thing you were saying. If I could save those 5 does, I thought that was mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, and if you ask the anti-hunters, guys like you and me are just out for blood, and we don't give a shit about, you know. And but yet, you and me is what most people I know do. And when they're low, they're like, nah, not happening.
Yep.
You know, and I got two other guys I hunt with on our land. They do the same thing. They're just like, you know what, screw it. Unless somebody's like really hard set on, man, I sure would like some extra. So let me ask you this. I seen a debate. Is it, I'll tell you what my answer is before you. Is it venison or deer meat? I call it deer meat. When people say venison, I almost kind of grin like, really? Okay. And I know it's venison, but I call it deer meat, right?
I'm guilty of both, but like my shirt says, I'm a deer eater. Yeah.
So. Josh Patterson says, I never put in for buck. Next year, I'm going to start putting in for buck. Awesome. What are you putting in for then, Josh? Whitey or mule deer? You know, stinky muleys are overrunning everything. Hey, anybody listening to 3B2, I hope you put in for a whitetail, because that's what you want is a whitetail buck. Those stinky muleys, man, they're terrible.
So, Mel, I'll ask you this. Can you taste the difference between whitetail and mule deer?
Nope. No way. I've actually, we made sausage years ago, and the biggest mule deer I ever got, he's like a 172. Old guy, white face, and my buddy shot a 3F2. He shot a young doe. He just wanted the meat, and then it was him and I and two other guys, and we were arguing about it. And I said, "I'm gonna fry this up. You guys go in the other room here. There's a shop right out by the. I know exactly where a shop used to be. Right out by the rural fire department. They went in. I said, "All right, come on." I mixed it up, and I looked at it, took a picture, and I'm like, "All right, guys, eat her up." And they all kind of sat there, and they were, all inquisitive. And I'm like, you guys don't know, do you? No, we don't. God damn it. You know, they're pissed off. I like to do that with northern, too. And northern and walleye, if you get the bones out and fry it up, you know, get the nice.
They taste the same.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, the slime's off. You don't know. I mean.
As long as the bones are out. There's no difference.
I think northerns are freaking awesome, man. If somebody's got deboned northern and you don't want it, JD, hell, I might even pay you for it sometimes. But because I don't fish much. But yeah, deer meat all the way. Eric says awesome. All right, Levi. Tell you what, tomorrow morning, 8:40 a.m. Central Time. Mitchell in the morning, 5:50, 99.7 on iHeart. Clay and Deke are going to be on Guns in the 701 every Friday. We're on, and it's got that later time because The Twins, they got a baseball team in Minneapolis or something there that kicks us back in the summer. But make sure you get that. And, of course, every Wednesday, Guns and 701s on it. They moved. Hey, I started a trend. I said, it's summertime. I'm going to 8 o'clock, right, summer hours. And the guys started doing the same thing. So I did.
Works good.
Yeah. Everybody's out mowing their lawn or whatever, which I should have been doing tonight, but I wasn't. But whatever, that lawn will be there this weekend, and when Scott shows over, I'll mow it then.
Perfect.
And I'm on every other Thursday. Next Thursday, I'm actually on. I've been doing a lot of shows. We had a lot of political guys on. It's political season. Appreciate all the Kelly Armstrong, Rick Becker, Alex Balazs. You know, I invited a couple other ones. They didn't want to come on, which is fine. Kelly said he wants to do. And I do mean once he's governor. He said he wants to come on at least every quarter. And I said, that's freaking awesome.
That'd be awesome.
That is awesome. Kelly's a good guy. He's going to make a great governor. And, Rick said if he gets into the House, the first bill he's going to introduce is called HB 701. So how cool would that be?
There you go.
But, yeah. My point is I've been doing more shows than usual. But next week, then I'm going back to every other week. But I'm having my buddy Wyatt on. He used to turn wrenches on side-by-sides and 4x4s and all that stuff. He's going to give us a rundown on all the new, like, cab models, the 1000s with the heat and air. And he's a big Polaris guy, but he did tell me he was surprised by a few things. So if you're interested in and I'm sure we'll get into some pheasant hunting too, because he's a huge pheasant hunter. Another guy's a lifelong friend of mine. He hunts at our place all the time. All right, I got two comments here. Then I promise you I'm going to end it because I'm right. I know I said that about 10 minutes ago.
That's all right. We can do this all night. I have no problem.
I asked Josh what he was going to apply for. He said, any antlered. I hunt 2i, and it's any antlered or any antlerless. Put my boy in for a buck out there this year, first choice, and doe second. Awesome. Yeah, so I'm going to just, when I get my drawing, I'm going to just not even open until I do my show and just, you know, oh, God, everybody cares what JD's going to draw, right? But I just for the hell of it, I'm going to do it. So.
See, I wish I could be like that, but I have
these well, I say that. Nowadays. Hey, I say that, right? It's just like I'm only having one beer tonight. 12-pack later and 3 shots. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I drink water.
Eric Newman says, for them to taste differently, they need to come from different areas. Mule deer and whitetail in the same area eat the same. Just the screen went on me. Food, so they taste. I agree with Eric 100%, man. It is.
Yes and no. I struggle with that one.
All right, give me your breakdown of it, Levi.
So I've killed 2 mule deer in Montana in the last 2 years, and
which I would think would taste like total shit, right?
Yes, sagebrush deer, like no alfalfa fields close to these. Same with some of the antelope. I killed an antelope in Wyoming a couple years ago, no alfalfa field anywhere near it. Tasted the exact same as the alfalfa fed deer that I get at home and the alfalfa fed antelope that I get back at home. So
I'm not going to, you know, I think about it. Because I have had deer in years that I thought, you know, when I cut them open, I'm like, man, it doesn't smell like anything. This is going to be, and then I eat it and I'm like, man, that's a little more.
And I'm making a little more venison-y than I thought. And stew, you know, it's not just sausage because you can mask a lot of flavor in sausage. Don't get me wrong, but like steaks and stuff. I'm going to ramble on again. I shot an antelope in Wyoming, which was an alfalfa fed antelope. But I shot him and made a bad shot on this antelope with my bow. And it took us quite a while before we finally got him killed. It was 97 degrees outside. Everything in you is saying this goat is going to be bad. We made some that night in camp. Amazing. It was great.
Man, I'm with you.
I think it all comes down to how fast you get them cleaned, how fast you get them on ice, not getting hair and urine and feces.
That's the main thing to me, yeah, doing that shit.
I honestly put that far and above, you know, where they come from, what species they are. And
yeah,
maybe my taste buds just suck. I don't know. Yeah.
You maybe drink a Bud Light before you did that, right?
Michelob Ultra for me on a diet.
I love Mick Ultra, man. I know it's the same company. But so we got some few comments here. Josh says he can't wait either. Waylon Turner says you'll be checking your email, JD. I think you're right.
That's what mine is. It comes through on my phone. I gotta look at it.
Yeah, I probably will. Gene says, remember, deer sausage is great when it's 100% pork. Oh, Eric says, is Idaho mule deer taste different than a South Dakota deer? Okay. And Waylon said, I agree with Scott Bachmeyer. As long as it gets cooled down right away, it's going to taste. See, I'm not on, I mean, Scott and I have had this discussion. I'm definitely not on board with that. We've shot antelope out at our place and it's 60 degrees and we've driven around there all day, back to Bismarck that evening, hung them up, you know, skinned them out, man. And honestly, that was some of the best antelope meat I ever had. So, I mean, everybody's got their theory. I don't know. Maybe we're both full of shit. You know, we're trying to say here. I don't know. Maybe we just get lucky and they taste better. Some like I've had beef that doesn't taste good. That's corn fed too. So,
and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. As long as the way you do it is how you like it and how it tastes.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
So, like when you make sausage every year, Levi, I've been using the same recipe for like 3 years. Cause I got it now and I'm like, man, this is how I want it. I love this. My kids like it. And you know, and then this year for whatever reason, there's something in there that doesn't taste quite as good as it has. And I'm just like, man, I didn't change anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I smoked it the same, but you know, and
sometimes I almost wonder too, if part of that isn't cause you've been eating so much of it for so long that if your tastes kind of change.
Oh, for sure.
Like when I get, like this last year, I harvested 11 animals. I got everything you can think of made under the sun because I wanted it. I didn't want the same thing every day. I'm not a dog. I don't want to eat the same
thing. So I changed it up. Again.
I change it up and, you know, and I don't have anything that I don't like, you know. But like I said, I'm not a little fella. I eat well.
good, man. Hey, if shit goes bad, you can outlive me because I'm a little scrawny dude. So. Well, I'm tall, but I ain't very wide. So I was going to add one more thing. Wayne did. So Wayne Muth texted me. He was shooting his AR down at the range, and the top turret and the side turret actually blew off his old Bushnell. Yeah, like it blew off. I've never seen nothing like it. And Wayne said, I've never seen nothing like it. And I said, Wayne, call Bushnell. I said, they got a lifetime warranty. I bet you any money they'll warranty it. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, sure as shit. I said, get back to me. Send me a bag. He said, Bushnell came through. Send him a brand freaking new scope. Looked awesome.
Well, and ask Wayne if that scope was older than I am.
Yeah. Oh, what? Oh, was that old?
I don't know.
It looked it, man. When I seen it, I'm like, Jesus. But my dad sent in some old loophole, like late 70s binos. I'm like, send them in. He's like, there's no freaking way. I said, yeah, there is, Dad. Good companies, lifetime. Sure shit, they did, man. Wow. I've had some warranty by loophole. They were awesome. And my Vortex, like some people bitch about Vortex. Vortex freaking just sent me a freaking day. No questions asked. Brand new one, man.
Yep. I broke my spotting scope last year on an elk hunt, and I took it to Shields, and I had the receipt. Brand new spotting scope.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, I got Burris, and I love Burris stuff, and I'm not going to trash them, but they kind of dicked me around on one of my scopes. They're like, nah, it's not blurry. And I'm like, yeah, it is. I got the same exact one. And now when I use the side focus, it won't. That's your eyeballs. And I'm like, no. My buddy Trav has the same one. Look through his. And I'm like, Trav, look through mine. And he's like, yeah, that's blurry. And I'm like, all right. Sorry, man. I love your drop reticles. I love your – it's nice and clear. They're fine. But, you know, I can't do it no more.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's kind of been holding me back. I've kind of wanted to get like the Saguaro ATX spotting scope. I don't know how good their warranty process is, and that's the one thing. You know, I've got a Vortex Razor, and
that's what I got.
Like I say, they're great spotting scopes, and then if you turn them in, you get a brand new one. They fix them. I mean, they do a great job.
So true story here, Levi. My buddy came out. Swarovski spotting scope, binoculars, went out scouting some mule deer out at our place. And I know he came out for Second Amendment Day years ago or something. Have mine, had his, and he, oh, freaking Vortex. And all right, so we were looking, you know, early morning, and he's looking at mine and looking at his, and he's like, God dang, he goes, I gotta admit, man, I don't tell a difference. And I'm like, yeah, and he's like, what about when you turn it up? And I'm like, well, if you turn any of them up, it doesn't. He goes, yeah, because mine gets blurry. And then he was just kind of sitting there. He's like, man, I got freaking screwed. And I'm like, well, how much was yours? He's like, $3,000. And I was like, yeah, you did. Sorry.
And it depends. You know, like them higher-end Swarovskis are going to be the same, like higher-end Vortex. The more money you pay, the better they're going to be.
I mean, a high-end Vortex ain't cheap, but it ain't still ain't a
– it ain't Saguaro.
Yeah.
And I got – Vortex spotting scope, Sig Sauer binoculars, Leupold rifle scopes.
Here's what I think about. Here's the one thing. Maybe you can call me insane and off my rocker, but what I've noticed about like the more expensive rifle scopes, like I'll go to the range with mine sometimes, and you know my Vortex or whatever, my Burst, and it's like off quarter inch or half inch. It seems to me like the more expensive ones, like they hold their zero. That, I mean, not like I was way off, but I would miss a prairie dog, right? But a coyote I wouldn't, and deer I certainly, but it seems like they stay like right on the nuts more to me than.
I got a Leupold VX6 on my 300, and I have beat the snot out of that thing in the last 3 years, and I have not touched it. And I have that CDS dial, the turret on top.
That thing, you put in your VC and your bullet speed. And
And that thing is perfect. And like I said, I don't baby anything. Like, I beat the crap out of my gear. Not intentionally, but it's just the way I hunt. And I had zero qualms about it. But then again, it's a $2,100 rifle scope. I mean, it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? When you need it and you know where it's going to be, it. So, see here. Josh says, my neighbor had an issue with a Bushnell scope and they warrantied it. Yeah. Okay. Yep. See, I mean, and be like, people bash on Bushnell. And I mean, I've even been guilty of that a little bit myself, but, Waylon here, what did Waylon say? Let's bring this up here. I always forget to do this. My speed goat I shot in 2004, the temp was 102, threw it on ice as soon as it was shot and was good, guarantee you wouldn't drove around. Not in 102. I'm on with, I'm saying, you know, like I said, it was 60, 55 to 60, 102. I'm with you guys. I'm throwing that son of a gun on ice as quick as I can, for sure.
Shoot, your beer won't even be good for
10 minutes. Yeah, you want to drink your beer when it's 102? I mean, I'll do it, but if I have to. all right, guys. We're going to – this time, I'm promising, we're going to – Levi, hey, man, it's been freaking awesome talking to you.
Yes,
I hope you come back on with me, man. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person someday, but we will sit down and have some beers and –
anytime. BS.
Yeah, I mean, you ever want to, I'd love to do some shooting with you or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll stay in contact. We'll have to try to get together this summer and shoot some prairie dogs.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, I felt the tingle go down my leg there. I love that prairie dog shooting, man. Love it. All right. Hey, just hang on for 1 second. I'm going to end the stream. We'll just give me a couple minutes and we get off here. So, everybody, hey, guys, thanks for tuning in tonight. Appreciate you. Like I said, tomorrow, Mitchell in the morning, 8:40 a.m. every Wednesday. Guns in the 701, and every other Thursday, 701 Nation. I'll be on next Thursday, though, at 8 o'clock, too. And Guns in the 701 doing summer hours, too, 8 p.m. Josh said, great show. Hopefully Levi comes back on. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, he's gonna. He's locked in now, man. Levi can come on anytime he wants. Waylon said, looks like you're ready for a nap, Levi.
The bed is calling my name.
all right, guys. Like I said, Levi, just hang on. I promise I won't keep you on long after the show, but I'll let you know when we're clear. Thanks again, everybody. Like Clayton always says, keep your powder dry. Get out there, do some shooting, do some hunting. Enjoy the United States of America and that Second Amendment, baby. It's the best ever.